سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. This 16th day of Ramadan, 1432 years after the hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. As we all know, we are reading Surah Al-Baqarah in our tafsir. 2 days ago, we answered questions only. I actually would have also answered questions yesterday, but I decided not to because I thought what had made me to answer the questions would not happen, but it looks like it has to happen, inshallah ta'ala. So I saw a lot of questions. Even though we used 1 hour to answer questions, we still had a lot left. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, I am going to close my tafsir tomorrow, inshallah, because I'm traveling on Thursday, inshallah. And I will not be back before the end of Ramadan. I'll be back only after Ramadan, inshallah. So I want to use today to answer as much questions as we can, so that tomorrow we have our usual message that we usually have before we close Ramadan, start the tafsir. So maybe answer a bit of questions tomorrow, and then we have the message and close, inshallah. Hopefully by Thursday I should be away. So that's why we'll have to use today to answer questions. That's why I didn't come with any book. So let's start. The first question we have to answer today is it authentic that in learning the Quran there are suwar which sacrifices have to be made? For instance, Surah Al-Fil, you cook beans. Surah Al-A'la, you sacrifice a cock. Surah Yasin, you sacrifice a goat, a billy, etc. I don't know. Wallahi, I have never read any hadith concerning, any authentic hadith concerning this. I don't know at all. I just know that it was reported that when Umar bin Khattab committed a chapter to memory, that he sacrificed an animal, you know, and he used it for walima. I know that. Even that, you know, some ulama want to disagree with the narration. At least I know if you achieve anything in your life, you can do a walima. That's understandable. Ulama have shown that a lot of things, there were things that were achieved and the walima was allowed for them. So there seems to be no limit to what you can do walima to celebrate if Allah blesses you with anything. So I know that. Allahu ta'ala alam. This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuh. Is it true that these names, Al-Rashid, Al-Mu'izz, As-Sabur, are not included in the 99 names of Allah, and that we can't name our babies with these names? Well, 99 names of Allah, I do not know any set of names to be the ones that are included in the 99 names. I just know that a hadith says that Allah has some 99 names. If you call him by them, if you memorize them, that you will have you know, a reward. I think Al-Jannah, that's what the hadith says. So, but I don't know any collection to be the 99 that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about. That does not also mean that Allah's names are only 99. Allah's names are uncountable. There are some He has taught people, there are some that are left in His exclusive knowledge. Nobody knows that. Huh? What is that dua? There is a dua that explains that. Huh? Allahumma. Allahumma inni abduk wa ibnu abdik wa ibnu amatik nasiyati bi yadik ma ban fiya hukmuk adlun fiya qada'uk as'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak sammayta bihi nafsak aw 'allamtahu ahadan min khalqik aw al-a anzaltahu fi kitabik aw ista'tharta bihi fi 'ilmin ghaibi 'indak an taj'al al-qur'an rabi'a qalbi to the end of the dua. So that one shows that there are some names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that nobody knows. أَوْ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمٍ غَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ. So, it's not the whole of His names that are 99. It's just some, 99 of His names. If you commit them to memory, you know their meanings. InshaAllah ta'ala, Al-Jannah will be yours. As long as you act upon their meaning, their import. So that I don't know the ones that are included in the 99, and I don't know them to have been mentioned. I know people quote some names and say they are 99. If you look carefully at those names, sometimes you see they are more than 99. They say 99 names of Allah. You see some of them are 104, 105, one like that. So which ones do you choose as the 99 amongst them? I don't know any authentic hadith that has come exclusively with just 99. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So, what I know, Rashid is not a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not Allah's attribute. Rashid is a human being's attribute. Lasta bi rajulin rashid. So, I know that a human being has been called Rashid, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have it authentically on any ground that it can be qualified as Allah's name. But as Sabur and the rest that you have mentioned, if anybody says they are not amongst the 99 names, he has to give a reason. Since they are names of Allah, just collect any authentic 99 and memorize them, at least 99. You can memorize more, as much as you can, as long as they qualify as Allah's name, commit them to memory and know their meaning. It's more important. Know what they mean and then apply them. Worship Him with the meaning of the name. Do we understand? And then use them in your dua. This one says, I say my Maghrib prayer in the mosque and the Imam recites Surah 13 on completion of the Surah. The Jama'ah said, something, I don't know. Okay. Bale wa nahnu ala dhalika min ash-shahidina. That is said to be in that is said to be da'if, that it's not authentic. That's what ulama said. Now that narration is not authentic, and so it's not supposed to be used, it's not supposed to be said. The one that is authenticated, undoubtedly, is when you say, أَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَن يُحْيِيَ الْمَوْتَىٰ say سُبْحَانَكَ فَبَلَىٰ. That's the one that's said to be authentic. So if the Imam recites that in Salah, you can say, سُبْحَانَكَ فَبَلَىٰ. But this one, بَلِيَ وَنَحْنُ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. If you have any proof, if you have a reason to think it's authentic to you because you know the ilm of hadith and it appears authentic to you from the narration and all that, then you can also say that. But what I know, the ulama who know this have said, is that it's not an authentic narration and so it's not said. But that's what they are saying. Because Allah is saying that أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ is Allah not the best of judges? And then they say, you are, and we are witnesses to that. You know, ordinarily is a good statement, but if you're worshipping Allah with anything, it's not whether it appears or it sounds good to you that matters, but is it actually authentic? This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. Is it good to use something to keep a seat inside a mosque? If you were sitting on any chair or at a particular place and there is a sign that you were the one sitting there, that seat should be left to you, especially when you have indicated you are coming back there. If you come back, if anybody sees, he should give way. Is it good for a Muslim to be calling his wife by her name? It's not haram. It's not prohibited. But what I've said is that it's not romantic. You should be romantic, you know, find a way of attracting her attention more to yourself. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that. He used to find something with which to call his wife so that at least she would smile, she would feel happy, like that. Aisha used to call her husband, radiallahu anha, she used to call her husband, Habibi. Is that not romantic? Habibi, my love. And then he would say, the beautiful girl, Humaira. Or sometimes he would say, Aish, instead of Aisha. You know? So he was romantic in the way he related with his wife, and it would be better that also other Muslims emulate him as far as that is concerned, because he was particular about being nice to women. In his last sermon he emphasized that people should be nice to women, people should treat women well, because he knows that they are like the foundation of family. It's with the woman that you can give birth to children, and he wants Muslims to multiply. So, and it's true, women, that Muslims can do that. So it's very important that you respect those who actually are the pedestal of our growth and the kind of position that a woman has, especially a mother before a son. You know, for such reasons and so many other reasons, and for being human beings, they're supposed to be respected, they're supposed to be treated well. And one of the meanings of being treated well is to be treated with some touch of romance, because that's something they appreciate. If you're dealing with a fellow man, there's no need to be romantic, because the man does not need your romance. When you start talking to a man and you're using one kind of voice, you say, what is wrong with you? Kilo is here? You know, but if it's a woman, she will prefer that you be soft. So that is it. There's nothing, it's not haram to call her name, but it's better that you don't. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. What is the judgment on someone polluting the air? Normally disturbs, especially when observing salah. Well, I don't know exactly what you mean by this. But if somebody comes to the mosque and farts the air within the mosque, it's not a good habit. If it escapes without out of, you know, beyond your control, you didn't know. You know, sometimes it happens like that. You're just saying, maybe you're concentrating on the qira'ah, you're like, purr, subhanallah. That one, nobody should hold you responsible for that, and you shouldn't be, there's no punishment for that, even from Allah, because it's not something you could control. But if you can control it, you saw it coming, and you knew it had to come, and there was a way you could control it, terminate the salah, leave the mosque, and fast the air. Do we understand? And then perform another ablution. It's not proper, if you can control it, to fart the air when you're in the midst of people. you attract a lot of sins to yourself, because for each person you inconvenience, you owe him an apology. How many people can you apologize to in this mosque, one by one? And how many of you have the opportunity that I have, for instance, of just saying, everybody, I apologize? You know, you don't have that kind of opportunity. So it's better that you don't do such things, because the rights of individuals are very important. And they can injure you if you trample on people's rights, because each of them you have to pay back with your salah on the day of resurrection. That's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you're taking garlic, don't come near the mosque. Don't come near. So for Ibn Hazmin, for instance, if you come to the mosque after taking garlic, your salah is not accepted, because the Prophet said you shouldn't come. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's because of the inconvenience you will cause others. When you're leaving your home, what you say is, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أضل أو أضل أو أذل أو أذل أو أظلم أو أظلم أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. All revolves around hurting people in any way. You don't want to mislead anybody. You don't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to cause anybody to derail. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. You don't want to misunderstand somebody or wrong somebody in any way, and you don't want to be wronged. So that you, we have to take this into consideration. The rights of people, the comfort of others. So it's not a proper thing to do. What will a husband do after divorcing his wife if she refused to go, claiming they labored together for the house they live in and the wealth he controls? It depends on what that means. If you had an agreement, for instance, that you were going to do business, you had 200,000, she had 400,000, you people brought those monies together, agreeing that you two were doing business, and then the money became 10 million, of course, what she has is what percentage? She has two-thirds of whatever you have earned. So that's what must come to her, if there was any such agreement. If there was another agreement concerning how the profits should be shared, because you were the one doing the laboring, even after contributing some money, whatever your agreement was has to be met. So if there was any such thing, or you were building the house, and in all that was spent, she gave up to half of the amount, then the house is co-owned. If there is a divorce, then maybe you sell the house and share the amount, or the house will be valued at the time you're leaving, you're asking her to leave, whatever value. The house is now worth 10 million, when you actually built it at 600,000, half of 10 million will be given to her in cash, if you have it, so that you take the rest of the house. Of course, that is normal. Remember that if she has a child that she's given suck to, and then you divorce her, and she has to go and continue breastfeeding that child, then you'll be paying, and it will be on a bargain. You know, she'll say, okay, give me 10 million naira a month for the breastfeeding of the child. Say, no, bye, yakubira. 10 million naira for you, you know, let it be so. You say, no, I don't agree. You like that until you agree on something. Don't mind me, I cannot stop it. So, of course, you have to take such things into consideration. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. Please, I met some brothers arguing about joining the imam during Maghrib prayer to pray Salatul Asr, which the person is owing. Some say it is right, while some say it is wrong. I want you to explain more on it. It is right. Whatever prayer an imam is saying, you have a right. In fact, if you haven't prayed and you come and see somebody praying, what you must do is join the person. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Perform salah, give zakah. If you come and see people either praying or doing anything good which is binding on you, join them. This is the thing that's binding on you. So specifically salah. If you come and see people praying, just join them. So Allah did not say, saluhum, ask them, or things like that, or make inquiries, or tajassasu. No, He said, just join them. So if you see somebody praying, you don't come and say, brother, which prayer are you saying? Are you saying Maghrib? And you say, yes. Or you say, mm-mm. No, you are not asked to do that. Just join him. فَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَأَتِمُّوا. Simple. So Ibn Hazm says, if you are doing saying Maghrib and the Imam is saying Isha, you come and join him. You, after three rakats, the Imam gets up for the fourth rakah, you say your tahiyya, say salam. If he still has not come for ruku, get up, join him in Isha, and with the intention of Isha. So you have gotten Maghrib, you have gotten Isha. You have killed two birds with one stone. Of course, we have kept explaining. We have explained so many times that if you're praying nafilah, you can pray behind an imam who is saying fard. And there are a hadith that support this. The hadith of the person that came into the mosque when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had terminated his prayer with the jama'ah. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the sahaba, who out of you will help this man? Abu Bakr said, I will. So he joined him. Abu Bakr had said a fard salah with the Prophet. He couldn't have wasted the one he said with the Prophet and made that one first. It's not possible. So he was saying nafilah, and he was asked to pray with somebody who was saying fard. So it's permissible for somebody saying fard to pray behind somebody saying nafilah, and for somebody saying nafilah to pray behind somebody saying fard. Because it happened to Mu'adh when he was going to his area to lead his people. After praying with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go to his area. His people would be waiting for him. He would lead them again. So he was saying nafila, they were saying fard. So it's permissible. So whatever prayer somebody is saying, if there's one you haven't said, come and join him. There's nothing wrong with that. There's also the issue of somebody who prayed behind the imam. He got one or two rakats, and the imam terminated his prayer. So he got up to complete, and you came and saw him. You can also join such a person. There's nothing wrong, inshallah. This one said, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. Brother, you said it is haram or not advisable for a Muslim to seek for power except that which is given to him. But unfortunately, it makes, if doesn't seek for it, if Muslims don't seek for it, we will be ruled by the kuffar and still be oppressed. You see, of course I expected that people, when you answer some questions sometimes or you say some things, if you probably forgot to make explanations or it didn't occur to you, people will not be able to put what you say in context. If we're talking of normal situation, normal circumstances, we say this is the ruling. But when you find yourself in abnormal circumstances, then of course the solutions to the problems will not be normal also. Sahib al-Risala says, يُحْدَثُ لِلنَّاسِ أَقْضِيَةٌ بِقَدْرِ مَا أَحْدَثُ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. So the qiyas that you do, the analogies that you draw when you are dealing with a particular issue depends on the circumstances under which that is happening. So yes, ordinarily you shouldn't seek. But even in the time of the Sahaba, somebody said to the Prophet, make me the imam of my people. And the Prophet said, you are their imam. That's because the Prophet looked at the fact that in the first place, that man was the one qualified to do it. And there was need for him to do that because there was nobody at that time. And nobody was qualified except him. So the Prophet said, yes, you are the Imam. Go and be the Imam. So it depends on the circumstances. There are times when it even becomes compulsory that you show interest. Because in that case, you're trying to salvage a situation. Do we understand? This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Is it allowed for a sister to purposely look for someone she is yet to marry? Look for him how? I don't understand look for him. I don't understand what look for him means. So I can't answer that question. This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Says, I read a book which says there are three types of sittings in the final tashahhud, and they are authentic. I see that the first two are authentic from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So is the third one authentic? First one is that the Prophet would have his left foot under his right thigh and shin, and his right foot up. Second one is like the first, but his right foot laid down. The third one is like the first, but his left foot is between his right thigh and shin. I don't understand the difference between this one and the one you have mentioned before. Left foot between his right thigh and shin. This is like the first one you mentioned now. I don't know the difference. I don't know the difference between what you have said now. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. I want you to make us clear about this. Is it good for a woman to be playing with her husband's aura when they are playing love? Yes, it's good. It's very good. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. How long can a wife wait for her missing husband? If a husband is missing, they're supposed to search for him for a year. If they can't find him, then that's when you begin to raise alarm. And then the judge will be able to ask her to wait for up to 4 years. If after those years he is not found, then the ruling will be that she will now be asked, the judge will now assume that the person is dead. And so he will ask her to observe the waiting period for 4 months, of 4 months and 10 days, which is for somebody who is assumed dead, after which he can marry. They say that this ruling was God. From the story of Abu Ruqayya, Tamim ibn Aus ad-Dari, that he was taken away by the jinn, and he lasted that long, and when he came back, his wife still chose to go back to him, so like that. So that is what they use to give this kind of period. But if the woman says she can't guarantee her chastity if she's asked to wait that long, it is said that all that will be abandoned and the judge will just ask her to observe the waiting period of 4 months and 10 days, assuming the man is dead, and then she can marry. So it's possible that she has waited. She has finished the waiting period, one ustaz came and she liked him and they got married. So So as they were like that, the husband now appeared. Ha. Arodihu. So now what do you do? And the woman hears that her husband is back. Says, Ustaz, say yes, my husband is back, and I prefer my husband to you. Yes? So Ustaz will say, okay, assalamu alaikum, bye bye. The judge will declare this marriage suspended. And she will observe the idda, and then she will go back to her original husband. That's what ulama say. What if? That's all. The other one will just fast and look for another one. So the choice is hers now. This one says, assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. My question is that I have a sister as my future wife to be. By the special grace of Allah. So according to Islam, am I allowed to buy her anything to break her fast? Why not? If she is the one you marry and you know that you have authority, you have the permission of her husband, the aunt of her wali, he has given you a go-ahead. You can buy her. You can buy her something to break her fast. You can even buy her something to wear. Please, is it compulsory for a Muslim to marry four wives? If yes, in which chapter? In Al-Quran or Hadith? Thank you. No, it's not compulsory, but it's advisable. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. Allah has said you can marry two, marry three, marry four. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, تَزَوَّجُوا الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودَ. So he didn't say how many times, just say marry. Marry the girls who are crazy about you and marry them so that you can have children. So you can marry one if you see another one you like and you need her, and you can accommodate her. Marry two if you can, still marry the third one, marry the fourth one, so that you will multiply, have a lot of children. Do you understand? It's not compulsory, but it's advisable if you can. This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. He says, please, I don't know what to do. Please make your question short, as short as possible. I was just confirmed to have ulcer, and I was asked not to fast so that the ulcer does not become chronic. I don't have the capacity to feed someone at school. And my mom is financially handicapped presently. Though I have a sister that is capable, but she's not giving the food out, complaining that she finds it difficult to find one person to be giving the food to. Should I commence the fasting or not? No, don't fast. If you don't have the means, just keep eating, that's all. It's not compulsory on you. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. And there's an authentic hadith, in fact, which shows that the man who slept with his wife during Ramadan and came to the Prophet to tell him that he had done something terrible, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet said, can you free a slave? So the other day I said, when somebody breaks his fast intentionally, without any reason, that first of all I said that you first free a slave, then you do this, and later I said, no, it's not like that. I was confused. You actually free a slave. That's the first thing you should do. If you can't, you fast for 60 days or for 2 months. If you can't, you do what? You feed. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, can you do that? He said, no, I don't have a slave. I'm so poor, I can't own a slave and I can't free one. So he said, okay, fast for 60 days. He said, I cannot fast for 60 days. He said, okay. He said, even one day I could not control myself. How can I do for 60 days? So he said, okay, feed the poor for 60 days. Yeah. I don't have money to even feed for one day. How can I feed the poor? So somebody brought a whole container of dates, you know, of sadaqah. And the Prophet said, okay, you take this one, go and feed the poor. So he said, is there anybody as poor as myself? So, like you are laughing now, the Prophet smiled. And then said, okay, go and feed yourself and your family. So if you can't afford it, it's not binding on you. So this one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. May the Almighty Allah continue to increase in knowledge and expose to more facts regarding any fatwa in Islam. Ameen. What is the ruling of a man that has a misunderstanding with his wife and told his wife to pack her things and go back to her parents? It's not a divorce. It's not a divorce. Even the Prophet told his wife to go and stay with her people, you know, before he will take a decision, before an ayah will be revealed. So it's not a divorce. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, brother. Alaikum assalam, brother. I say my salah in the mosque where the imam recites, recitation is very porous. Can I continue saying my prayer behind him or at home? Say behind him, but correct him. Try to correct his recitation. Some people could recite terribly because they have a very strong accent and will not be able to pronounce some alphabets correctly. I've told you that so many times. If you have a Bari imam, sometimes say, li'ilafi Quraysh. I say, no, Quraysh, say Quraysh. Say Quraysh, say Quraysh. You can't say Ra. That is excusable because that's how Allah created him. Do you understand? I was told of somebody in my Zohri school that he was learning from our teacher and he said, La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwal yawmin khayrun an taquma fih. فيه رجال. And then he, if he wants to say that, he says, لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى تَقْوَى مِنَ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ خَيْرٌ. You can't say خَيْرٌ, say خَيْرٌ. أَن تَقُومَ هِيهِ رِجَالٌ. He says, فِيهِ, say هِيهِ. I can see somebody hiding his head, because it is there people that say that. So you say فِيهِ, you say هِيهِ. He can't say fi, you say he. I will not mention Yahudu. Should I give example with Yahoo? So, like I've also told you, the Egyptians, they can't say ja, they say ga. Ga, idha ga'a nasrullahi wal fatih. So such things, excuse them, because Bilal also had such a problem and the Prophet excused him. So if it's that, but if it's not that kind of problem, then of course the person should be corrected. There is a lahan that is not excusable. The lahan that will change the meaning of what has been said. When somebody says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that is not excusable. If he can't say Rabbi, he is corrected, and he doesn't correct it, he should be changed as the imam. If not, don't pray behind him again. It's not excusable, that one. It's terrible, it changes the meaning, and it changes it from praise to insult. Or he says, Alhamdulillah, instead of Alhamdulillah. That is not excusable. So somebody has to correct such mistakes. It compulsorily. And you correct him during Salah if he says that. If he doesn't take the correction, you try and try, he doesn't take it, leave him alone. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. In a culture where there is a brother and sister, there is pride for brothers and for sisters. If the wife now wants to leave the husband, and the husband starts requesting all this with his dowry, is it haram for the husband? I don't understand. What is pride for brothers and pride for sisters? I don't understand this question. Maybe you hold it. This one says, may the peace, say Assalamu alaikum my friend. May the peace and bounties of Allah be with you and the Ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Please, is it permissible for a Muslim brother to dwell into sport as an occupation, means of livelihood, knowing well that some of the sports, if not all, could interfere with stipulated time of salah? It's not permissible. It's not permissible for it to be your means of livelihood, because there is much of haram in it. It's not permissible for that to be your means of livelihood. So if you have it as a means, try and change it. If you are just trying to do that, don't get into it in the first place, because there are very many conditions that cannot be met, especially when you go into sports at professional level. So it's not permissible for one to choose that as a career, unless you know in that sport none of those rules will be broken. Then it's permissible. You won't be naked, you won't expose any of your aura, you will not mingle, there will not be free mixing of men and women, there will not be gambling and things like that. And then there is no way you will hear the call to prayer and cannot leave that spot and go to pray. It's not possible for sports to meet these conditions. Is it? Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. If I feel like I want to pass out gas in position of salah, that if I do so, I will eventually lose the salah in Jama'ah. It's the last sitting of a Jum'ah prayer. What should I do? Can I hold it? That is, send it back. If you are able to hold it and it doesn't come out, yes, your salah is valid. Only that you have done that which is not desirable. It would have been better to release it and perform the salah again. But then, if it doesn't come out, well, the salah is still valid. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. What is the ruling on someone walking in front of people praying in the mosque? Ha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's a big sin, it's a major sin. Because he said, if the person doing that had known the sin in that, he would have waited for 40. He didn't mention what 40 means. In some riwayat, 40 years, and so on. So you should wait as long as it takes the person to finish his salah. If there is no way you can get out of the mosque without passing in front of him, then wait for him to terminate. Even if he is just starting the salah, it's better for your time to be taken than for you to sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very terrible thing to do. This one says, may Allah increase us all in knowledge and faith. Ameen. If one divorces his wife, it is said that she has to get married to two different other men before one can get her back. My question is, must these two marriages involve sexual intercourse? Or in other words, must these two new husbands sleep with her before divorcing her and before one could again marry her? Must these two marriages be long-term marriages? In the first place, I do not know who said that if a woman is divorced, she has to be married by two other people before she comes back to her the first husband. I don't know who said that. What I know is if you divorce your wife, she observes the waiting period. If she is observing the waiting period, and before the waiting period expires, you decide that you want her back, she is again your wife. I know that. If you have done that two consecutive times, then if you pronounce the third divorce after that one, then she, when she finishes her wasting period, she has to marry somebody. Under that condition, she has to marry somebody if she will ever come back to you. If she's marrying that person, she should marry him with the intention of staying with him forever. And he should do the same. That means there must be intercourse. So if she went in and the man died without having intercourse with her, nothing for you. She has to marry another person. That person has to have intercourse with her. Huh? Then they'll be with each other like that. If he had intercourse with her and he also died, then she can, after her waiting period, come back to you if you want her. Is this understood? This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. After yesterday's tafsir, a Christian friend asked me if my parents asked me to divorce, if his parents asked him to divorce his wife with a good reason, and she apologized and asked for forgiveness. If he forgives her and decides that she should stay, is that allowed? Or does he have to divorce her if his parents insist that he should divorce her? So why is a Christian asking you that? The rulings of Islam are not binding on him. So why should he be asking? He should go to his pastor and ask what he should do if he divorces a woman in his deen, because he's not a Muslim, so our rulings are not binding on him. Tell him to go to his pastor. Huh? Uh-huh. So this one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. How can a man divorce a woman that passed out of the house for 8 months without knowing her menstrual period again? How can he divorce her? If he wants to divorce her, of course he will divorce her. If he has divorced her, if she does not menstruate again, maybe that's what you're saying. If she does not menstruate again, she'll stay for 3 months. That's all. If she does not menstruate again, maybe she has reached her menopause. Maybe that's what the person means. This one says, we all know to share night with women is one day, one night, and the other room is forbidden to the husband to enter until the other day. What if one of the wives cannot satisfy her husband? Can he go to... I think we have treated this issue. Huh? I think we have treated this issue. So if she is not able to satisfy the husband, of course he goes to the other room. Do we understand? And if it's one day, one night for this one, what it means is that you can't spend the night in the other room. It doesn't mean that you can't visit the other one, you know, even when it's not her day. You can visit her, you can stay in her room, you can romance, you can go to the last extent, but you can't spend the night in her room. That's the difference. So you say you cannot go to the other room. You can go. You can go and play with the children. You can stay with her. You can have some time with her. And then you go back to the other place. You can. But you can't spend the night there. This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If a sister that is just an ordinary friend cooks for me, for him, is it allowed for him to eat it as iftar or suhoor? It's not advisable. for you to go to that extent with an ordinary friend. In the first place, you are not supposed to have that ordinary friend as a sister. No, it's not proper. If a sister on niqab is asked to remove her facial cover for identification in an exam hall, is it permissible to uncover her face? Yes, it is. Is it permissible, assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam, is it permissible to turn your head to the right side after recitation of Fatiha during Salah? Okay, I understand. You say, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين في ولا الضالين. It's a bid'ah, it's an innovation, it's not in Salah. And it's doing something that is not included in the activities of Salah. That could even nullify your Salah if you do it, if it gets rampant, because it's not taught in any way, it's not part of Salah. So bid'ah, stop it. This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah bless you with more knowledge. Ameen. And Iman. May Allah bless me with more knowledge and Iman. Ameen. What will be the stand of a marriage of a couple that has divorced for 3 times? Read this one for me. You have looked at it, you don't understand it. I don't also understand it. Okay, maybe you can do some magic to it. This one says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah bless me and increase my knowledge, Iman. Also make Jannah my final residence. And all Muslims. Ameen. Ameen. Ameen, ameen, ameen. He said, one of my people was going out to sell some things that she had on her head. So somebody said, may you go well and come back safely. She said, Ameen. Then somebody said, may you sell all that you have on your tray. She said, Ameen, 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 Ameen. So this one says, if I have prayed Taraweeh and Witr with Imam, then later I woke up at night, can I pray more? And how many rak'ahs are allowed? If you already exhausted the 11 rak'ahs, you are finished. If you wake up at night and perform ablution, you can say 2 rak'ahs for the ablution. And then you sit, recite the Quran, or do some many other things that you can do. Read the hadith, read books of fiqh, like that. You can do a lot of things to worship Allah in the night. You can do zikr. You can just be saying, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa Allahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, or things like that. You can say, la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. You can say a lot of things in the night. It doesn't have to be nafila. You have exhausted the nafila if you have said up to 11 raka'ah. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. If one removes zakah from his wealth, is there anything wrong in it if he decides to share it bit by bit to many needy? Or must he have to give it to one or two people only, which is the proper mala? It depends on the amount. Some people's zakah maybe up to 10 million. Abi? Some people's account may be up to 10 million. In that case, you don't have to give one person. Abba. Okojo. Abi? So, you look at it. What will be enough to take each miskin you're giving out of poverty, at least on the average, something that will be enough for him as capital to start some business. If he's a carpenter, he can start a workshop with the amount. If he's a mechanic, he can start his workshop. If he's this, if he's that, what amount? So for each person you are giving, you find out what will be enough to start him off. You have to remember also that the person has family, so he will have to give something at home that will be enough to take care of food for some time before his business picks up, before he can be taking something and giving at home. So maybe you say, okay, this 30,000, buy Chevy. You know Chevy? Huh? You don't know Chevy? You are missing rice. Buy rice, buy beans, buy this, buy that. That will be enough for maybe 3 months. Then this one, take 350,000. Set up something, you know, maybe start a carpenter's workshop or start something, whatever you do. I'm choosing those ones because those ones are productive. It's better that it's something that's really productive, something, you know, like that's a trade, a skill. It's better. When somebody is skilled, it's better than just opening a shop to sell. If that one finishes, he's gone. But if he has a skill, you know, he always has a skill and it will be useful to the ummah anytime. So that's the one we should promote the more, alhamdulillah. So you get that and then you give people in accord, you know, in accordance with what your findings have shown you. Do we understand? So what will be enough for each person you give? Like that. So, but if the amount is small, maybe what you are giving as zakah is 10,000. You now go and give this one 500. Go and give this one 300. You know, you are just wasting your time. Because the aim is not achieved. It's giving by the rich to the poor. It's taking from the rich and giving to the poor. Why are the poor giving? So that they, inshallah, will get out of their poverty. So if you give me 300 naira, what will I do with that? And then they will say, it's Alhaji so-so-so that's giving zakah. So you have to go to him and tell him you thank him so that he will know you have received. So you collected 300, you spent 100 naira as transport. That's what we do now. You know, it's not supposed to be like that. So it depends on the amount. If it's 10,000, give it to one person. You have an uncle who is a miskin, that's the one that is most qualified. Don't leave your uncle and give to your neighbor, or give to a friend, or give to somebody who is not related to you. Start with al-aqrabin. Huh? Yes. This one says, please, after divorce, if the husband planned with his friend to marry his divorced wife, I think we already treated this issue. That one is not considered a marriage. So if she goes back to the other person, they are committing zina. If he arranges with anybody, no, there should be no arrangement. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. Please, what about a woman who is lucky to enter Al-Jannah, but her husband did not? Are there also charming, handsome dudes in Jannah for her to marry? Of course there are. There are. Don't worry about that. Just go to Al-Jannah first. Just work to earn Al-Jannah first. The rest will be settled. There is no problem that you take to Allah that does not have a solution. After all, He created the problem, so He has solutions to them. What if you go for a lecture together with a Christian friend and mate? Only one empty space, which is very close to a hijab-full sister. Is he to sit close to her or let her sit while he will stand? Because if he doesn't sit, he will hide. And there must be, of course, body contact, then you don't sit near her. You allow her to sit, you go somewhere. I don't understand the question, but I'm assuming that that's what you mean. If you go on, there is a sister there. You don't sit, of course. Even if it's not a hijab sister, you don't go and sit near a sister that's not your sister, is not your blood sister, she's not your wife, nothing. You go and sit when there will be close contact. Of course, that is wrong. That is un-Islamic. Huh? Eh? Raise your voice. I'm not hearing you. You're still... Look at you. It's the same thing. If the kafir sits there or you sit there, it's the same thing. It's zina that you both are committing. So none is better than the other. Nobody should sit. That is just it. If you want to protect her from that, find a sister to sit there. Or maybe you keep your bag there, so that when the kafir comes, they say somebody is there. But if you sit there, it's not the same thing now. You can only. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. If I don't really know the number of previous Ramadan fasting that I have intentionally skipped, how do I know the number of fasting to pay back as kafara? I don't know. If you don't know the number, I don't know what you do. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. تبعاً لحديث الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ولا يخطب الرجل على خطبة أخيه حتى يترك الخاطب قبله أو يأذن له الخاطب رواه البخاري في صحيحه. Are you sure that's how it was exactly written in Bukhari? Anyway, I approached a girl. For, you started with Arabic, why are you ending with English now? See, that's what I keep telling people. This is an English class. So that if you're writing in Arabic, I will still translate it to English. So save yourself that, write in English. I have classes in which we speak Arabic. Come to those ones. And come and speak Arabic. But when I tell people that, they say, why am I discouraging? I'm not discouraging from speaking Arabic. We have classes in which we read books in Arabic. I explain, we speak very brief English, quite briefly there. And sometimes we don't even speak with some people. If you want that one, come to that one. And a bunch of coney. But if we're in this class, please write in English. Even if you write in Arabic, I will have to translate. So just write in English. He approached a girl for marriage. The girl accepted his offer in lieu of a boy she previously accepted. What should he do? If she had accepted somebody before, somebody whom the parents had approved of, then run for cover. Don't even approach her. That's why I keep telling you, it's not approaching her that's the best thing. Go to her parents first. Let the parents know that you want to indicate interest in her. Because if they have given somebody before, they will tell you. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. May Allah reward you and increase in knowledge. Ameen. That is all. Tell me the signs of puberty. For a boy, he will sleep and have a wet dream. That is his sign. Once he does that, he has attained puberty. وَالصَّبِيُّ حَتَّى يَحْتَلِمَ. So if you have ihtilam, you have attained puberty. That's the simplest one. Do we understand? For some, that may not happen. But then, the person will begin to see pubic hair. The person will begin to see hair at the armpit or, you know, like that, by his private part. When he begins to see that, that's also a sign of puberty. For some, they also do not have that early. So some people will say, when he attains 15, whether he has seen any of these or not, he has attained puberty. For a boy. For a girl, it's not up to 15. It depends on where you are. In some places, at the age of 9, some girls attain puberty. Eh? Some at 10. I have a friend whose daughter started menstruating at 10. Before she was 11, she started menstruating. There are so many girls like that. So when she starts menstruating, she has attained puberty. Some do not menstruate early. Some get up to 17. But then they may be able to show some signs of puberty. That will be that there will be hair at the armpit and so on. Once that, all of those manifest, you know, she has attained puberty. In some other cases, you'll just be able to take the average age at which girls attain puberty, and then you assume for the girl, because she also may not show any of these signs. We'll finish with the question? Okay. This one says, please, sir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa mawtuh. I was just confirmed as having ulcer not long ago, which I was advised not to fast. I think this is the same question we read before. He sent it now. I was advised not to fast but to feed one person. I then told my sister to be feeding somebody for me at home, but she doesn't complain that she finds it difficult to get. It's the same question. It's the same question. That she finds it difficult to get one. It's the same question. Also, will I pay back the fasting when I am healed? No, if it's been confirmed that for ulcer you are not advised to fast at all, for your ulcer there's no time that you should fast at all because it could affect you, then you are permanently excluded, so you just be feeding. If you can't feed, awoof. I hope I've answered this question. Is it possible, assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam, is it possible for somebody to buy somebody's fasting? I learned that Saudi government just bought their football players fast by feeding 60 people on behalf of each player. Is this Islamically all right? I don't know it to be all right. No. No, definitely not. This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. Now if it's, no. If you refuse to fast, without a good reason Islamically, and football cannot be a good reason, then you must pay back. And if you do that, what some people even say is that if you just deliberately refuse to fast, that you only wait for punishment on the day of resurrection, because the issue of paying back does not even arise. There is no provision for you. The one that was said to pay back, was asked to pay back, was the one who slept with his wife. But just like that, you decide to eat. You may be a kafir, or you may be close to a kafir, or something like that, but definitely you just wait for punishment to continue to say istighfar, and wallahu alam, only Allah knows when it will be accepted. It's a very serious thing to do. I don't believe that the Saudi government would do that with the permission of the ulama. I don't think so. So they are on their own. Wal-iyadu billah. May that never happen. So alhamdulillah, we have come to the end of this. Tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, maybe we'll answer a few questions and then we'll have the message and we'll close, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله